Hello and welcome to the Weeb. A little late, but it's the Weebies.
You guys like the sign? Onimaru did this one, and then I did the other one. So let us know who has better handwriting.
Yeah.
The answer is Onimaru.
It's not a competition, but...
Onimaru won, yeah. So.
This is already like a downgrade from last year's show. But hey, and we're also more than half a year late. But we figured we should do it anyway.
So we
ran out of budget, but this is all we could afford. And so we're putting on the Weebies. We're going to tell you what our favorites were of...
2022. So yeah, we got our cards. You know, I'm Shaw. This is Onimaru.
Yep.
We are going to be your host for the second annual Weebies. We switched it up a bit. We traded in the backdrop, the budget, and the clothes for the set. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
These are the broke Weebies.
Brokies.
Brokies.
We're the brokies carrying the Weebies. So we have... a bit less categories than last time.
Yeah.
But we put together our own...
like the essentials.
We put the essentials
together. I think, you know, like kind of the consensus on like what most people really care about at the end of the day.
And that, by that we mean us.
Yeah, what we really care about.
What we care about.
And what our favorites are. So.
Yeah. And what we can remember from 2022.
It's been a long time.
We did a refresher course.
Remembered. Yeah, we...
And the weird thing is we like 2022 anime, but, you know, we talked about it in our other episode, like, you know... time made it tough. We couldn't release it on a good time basis. We were aiming for like March, but then like it didn't work out. So, you know, Christmas in July.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Weebies in July.
So let's start with our first category. Let's get right into it. We're going to be talking about
best animation
from 2022. So we're going to go and say like what our picks were, talk about it a bit, and then we'll just go through the categories. So best animation for me. Actually, no, for you. What was best animation for you?
I think I was torn. I feel like the usual suspects are kind of like, we had Demon Slayer this year, and we also had like Mob Psycho Season 3, Attack on Titan looked good at times. And then you get the good like character animation, like Bocchi was popping off and going crazy. But I think if I really think about like best animation, just like sticking with it, I got to go Mob Psycho Season 3.
That dimple fight.
A dimple fight went really hard.
The golden dimple fight, that was crazy. Because it hit the emotional beats.
That was so tough.
It was so, like, it went so ham on, like, the actual animation.
And
he was so shiny.
He was so shiny. And then, like, even later in the season when Mob was going full Psycho 100.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you. you know, when they had, like, they were animating, like, Regan saving him and, like, how he was going off and fighting the other, like, blonde dude. Like, there was just a lot of different types of good animation, which I expect from Mob Psycho. Yeah. And I think it wins out at the end of the day.
I think that's a solid pick. So it's Mob.
Mob.
Definitely Mob.
That's what we want, Mob.
Okay. I did my crash course, but I'm going to have to, like, look at my notes real quick.
That's good. Just, you have notes.
There was a few, like, contenders that I was, like, I thought I knew, but then I was, like, it's tough. And I think for best animation, Mob Psycho is really, you know, it's really tempting, but it wasn't like the whole season was like that. It was certain episodes that were really good. I'm going to go with Bocchi.
Bocchi Gochi.
I feel like
Bocchi Gochi.
What Bocchi was doing was like very like refreshing and like experimental. Yeah. And it was cool. Like how it would go into different styles and like try out these different things. And like, it wasn't even expected. You were just, you know, just.
You're just experiencing it in real time.
Yeah. And it was just a lot of fun. It just made it a whole lot of fun with the whole direction and everything. I mean, I guess that's more direction, but like the animation itself was like pretty interesting, the approach. Yeah. So
like the one where she's like glitching out on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
That fun fact, I was looking it up on Sakugaboro. The same animator who did that scene animated like the Promare volcano scene.
Dude.
So the fact that you could be like, oh yeah, the same guy who made the volcano scene also did Bocchi freaking the fuck out on the sidewalk is like a pretty
big dub. That's pretty dope.
I think that's a dub.
Yeah, because it's like, it felt like, you know, that it kind of made the show like just like more of a treat, like every week, like you weren't even expecting it and it just would happen. And it kind of injected like a lot of life and like personality into the show. So
yeah,
I think that's, you know, that's my pick.
That's great. I think that's a great pick. So now we get our next category.
Next category. Are you guys ready?
My microphone's not ready for the sign. Best opening and ending. They get to share a card, but we're going to pick one of each.
Yeah, we're going to pick one of each. So
okay.
Best opening and ending. There were a lot of openings, a lot of endings. There was only like, I don't know, there weren't a lot of like standouts, I think.
I don't know. I'm like, how much do I remember? But it's like, that's,
it's really that,
but that's what's interesting. You know, what's interesting though, is I feel like it kind of proves the whole like test of time thing.
Yeah.
Cause we're a full, like essentially year later,
yeah.
Which openings and endings did we remember from the past year
yeah.
that stood out amongst everything else? And that's what's interesting.
And I think that makes sense because there are openings from the 2019 season that I still remember.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
In my head. Like,
exactly.
And it's not because I went to listen to them afterward. Like, no. I just remember the visuals. Yes. I remember the feeling. So this was kind of tough. Not to say there weren't good openings. We found a few and yeah. we have a pick, but it was tough.
Yeah. I think there were a lot of, I do think there were a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
At least for me, I think so. I liked a lot of, you know, I think like just listing them out as like contenders
yeah.
of what comes to mind. You got the Osama ranking second opening. Yeah. I think everyone loved that.
It was really good.
I haven't even gotten to that one. Like that part of the story right. yet.
But and you
I,
saw it.
I saw yeah. it. And I'm like, oh, I love this.
Everyone
this
is was sharing it. Yeah.
This is the coolest thing ever. And then you got, I remember liking the, what's that stupid call? It's not a Call of the Night that had yeah. a really quirky ending. You know, I like the Spy Family openings.
Yeah.
The Rumbling, Rumble Gang.
Rumbling. That's, Rumble Gang. That's iconic.
I even like the Demon Slayer opening, which like I didn't really care about the other ones, but this one had like a unique vibe yeah. to it. And I really liked
I like
that.
The song. It was good.
Yeah. The Spy Family openings, I liked a lot. Even Cyberpunk, Bocchi. There were a lot of like, and Chainsaw Man had an iconic opening. Yeah.
Chainsaw Man had like all the movie references. Yeah. And that was kind of like really cool for that like, was, you know, you don't see that a lot with anime that they're actually like yeah. tributing like Western shows. So
that and like Mob went 3 for 3.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I love the ending to the ending part of the opening where it's like Reagan, like watching Mob grow
yeah,
up and then it's
he
one
becomes one.
Only one. Yeah. Aww, that was so awesome. Cute. Yeah.
It's so wholesome. Yeah. We're so happy.
That in itself was like, fuck, should I just pick it just for that?
Mob, who we want. Okay. Yeah. So I went first last time. Who you got this time right. for opening?
Check my notes. Cause I think I had a hard time too. Okay. So I almost picked, well, actually, I'll tell you what I picked, and then I'll say afterward what I almost picked. In the end, I think I'm going to go with Yurusei Yatsura's opening.
Ah, that's a different
Unfortunately,
one.
Nice. Like, I didn't keep up with the show, because, like, yeah. I don't know why. I kind of, like, I think it was, like, the first episode was really solid yeah. at the animation, but I just didn't think I could keep up with it weekly.
Yeah.
And also, they chose to, like, not do it. Like, they chose to do highlights of the original series,
yeah.
which was
yeah.
a little, like, controversial for people instead of fully adapting it, but I understand why.
Yeah.
So I didn't end up keeping up with it, but that opening in itself yeah. is so clean and so,
yeah,
like, the music,
good.
Like, synced well. Everything just looks so, like, gorgeous looking. So I had to pick that one. I almost picked Kickback from Chainsaw yeah. Man for the reasons I stated. Like, that yeah. in itself was so cool. And I didn't like the song at first. Like, I didn't think, like, it fit the crazy vibe of Chainsaw yeah. Man that I associate with it. But after a while, I'm like, you know what? This is kind of a bop. Like, it's it grew on me. Yeah.
yeah. At first, when I watched that one, I didn't know that they were movie references. So I'm like, yeah. what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Chainsaw Man pacing. And then you see all the breakdowns of like, here are the movie yeah. references that Fujimoto really likes. And I'm like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I love all of this.
And so, he like loves to like reference the movies and the manga. So it just yeah. makes sense.
And I'm like, oh, that's the coolest yeah. shit. That's
so
cool.
Almost picked that one. Like, I almost really picked that one, but then I was like, like, do I really feel that strongly about it that I had to, like, think about it? And then yeah. I remembered Yurusei Yatsura. I'm like, yeah, it's got
to
be that.
Yeah, so. And that one's great, too. The same director, I mean, animator, I have to, and director?
Yeah.
I got to double check. Who did the Osama ranking second opening,
yeah.
did the Yurusei Yatsura
oh,
opening.
Oh,
and he's been
sense.
Doing, like, the
like it felt
Jujutsu
so
Kaisen
alive.
Openings.
Yeah.
yeah. Forget his name.
And I feel like that's, you have to also sometimes remember like the year goes by and you remember all the iconic anime, but sometimes a lot of the lesser known or not even like the lesser known, but like the anime that you didn't even keep up with have like some of the best openings that
yeah.
went unseen. So.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Love that for us.
Yeah. So what's yours?
I'm going with kind of in the same vein. You know, Spy Family had two openings. I think the first one, I think it's called Crazy Nuts or whatever. No.
Mixed Nuts. Mixed
Nuts.
Yeah.
Because Crazy Nuts is the other Call of the Night opening.
Oh, okay.
Get
got
both
it.
Nuts. So,
oh, I think my friend showed me that one. Yeah, that's a bop.
I like that one a lot too. So two Spy Family openings. But the second one, Souvenir, is by Bump of Chicken. And
oh,
I think
Bump of Chicken.
Bump of Chicken always has like a soft spot in my heart. Because whenever I listen to a Bump of Chicken song, I feel very warm and fuzzy inside and it feels like home in a way. And that's what this second opening feels like. Yeah. It feels like that warm embrace of home, of like having hot chocolate at home. And that was so fitting for, you know, this part of Spy Family. It's like Lloyd looking back at like family he's developed and stuff. So you get that same, that kind of vibe of like, you know, they're growing as a family, even though they still have like these hidden parts of themselves. It's just like a wholesome, warm experience watching that opening. And I think it's just kind of like a perfect opening and it stuck in my mind. And I love the song. It's just an absolute bop. So
yeah,
like,
no, I agree with that, because that opening, it's like, it's kind of telling a story within a story. Yeah. Like, it's a condensed version of like how much they mean to Lloyd, and yes, it's like very heartwarming, endearing, and you see these extra scenes that, yeah, like you don't get to see in the anime, but you like, you'd like to imagine, like, yeah, they're doing all this stuff, and
yeah,
it's really nice.
And it's directed by Araki, the first season of Attack on Titan's director. So
he's a goat.
He's a goat. So it makes sense. He did some wholesome for us. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
That was good. I almost picked that one too.
That's good.
I almost picked a lot of things.
No, that was good that we have different ones, because talked about a bunch of them.
Yeah, at least we get to cover more ground. Yeah. So,
and we didn't mention Chainsaw Man for openings, but when we think of endings, there's at least 13 Chainsaw Man endings to enter into the ring.
Yeah, that's a lot to pick from. And it's crazy like that an anime did that. That was insane that they had.
I love that they did that.
13 endings. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and so
they
cool.
Had different, they all look different. Different
vibes, different feels.
Different vibes,
that matches
artists,
the episode or the content. Yeah. So, yeah. Like, there's like almost like an ending for each character almost. Like,
yeah.
Or each, like, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's really good. So is that one of your contenders then?
It's one of mine. I remember, I was thinking back, because I think the endings are sometimes harder to remember than the openings.
Yeah.
Remember the Attack on Titan final season part two ending for this is really cool.
Yeah.
It's just like very like emotional, but like very evocative imagery of like the birdcage being free. They have Eren with, and Mikasa with the scarf, that whole motif, very compelling song. I remember that sticking out a lot. I'm trying to think of other ones. I think it really is a Chainsaw Man dominated ending.
Yeah.
I do like I also like the Spy Family endings too.
Yeah, those are good.
They stayed in my mind a lot.
I'm trying to think what I had. I had like a few.
I'm trying to think of what else.
That like,
what else came in?
Oh no, I actually, yeah, no, I don't have a lot.
Did you like, you have like a few in mind? Let me see.
Like a few. I just really couldn't remember endings. But I know there were a few standout ones. One that I think I was trying to remember. I think I liked the one from Kaguya season three.
Yes, Kaguya had two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Yeah,
because Kaguya had the rap battle one.
Yes.
For that
episode. Yeah, yeah,
and then
it
also
and
it had
this whole one that was like a whole story of like Shirogane.
Yeah, where she's like kidnapped on the moon and they have a whole like sci-fi story.
Yeah,
for
it. And it had like a completely different art style.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That one's really cool too. That might throw a wrench into my pick. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those were really cool too. I feel like that's all I can remember. I know there's more out there, but
I'm just going to cop out and say it's going to be one of the Chainsaw Man endings.
Do we both settle on a Chainsaw Man ending?
I think we're going to settle
on
a Chainsaw
sense
Man ending.
Dramaturgically.
But different Chainsaw Man endings.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah. So
you go. No. Okay.
No, you go.
Okay.
Wait,
so,
did I go last turn?
You went first last turn. So. Okay. So I think at the end of the day, when I think of all of the Chainsaw Man endings.
Follow your heart.
Gotta go. I saw this one and I knew, I'm like, yo, this is kind of cooking on like next level. Chainsaw Man ending 5. I don't know the name of it. I will look it up. This one is probably the most batshit visuals I've seen from the Chainsaw Man endings, because it's when they're trapped in that like Infinity Hotel, the whole gang, and they just have all these different like art references that they present through them to show them like kind of turning over and over.
Yeah.
And they have like change art style like a million different times. The sound in the background is like changing. It just feels like you're going insane, but artistically.
Yeah, I think that was interesting.
And it was made by, I think this same people made like this Chinese opening that went kind of viral.
Okay.
That was like super shiny and pretty looking.
Yeah.
So this one, it was just so cool because that's like the episode where they start like, oh, we're trapped in the hotel. Yeah. What are we going to do? Whatever.
And that episode ended hard with Denji like literally throwing himself down. Was that the episode where he like decided to throw himself down the elevator shaft?
No, I think that's like the next one.
Oh, okay.
This is when they like realize they're
stuck. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Got it.
So this one was crazy. I'm going to look up the name of it, but I think people have other favorites, but this one like stuck with me the most because I feel like it really captured the craziness of Chainsaw Man with some cool art references to portray that. And then the song is just like very like controlled chaos in a very interesting
I mean, I could
way.
Always try to like throw it up here like in editing, but if we want to like save money, then, you know, maybe you look
to
it
save
up.
The budget. Ending 5. What is it called? I'm a fake ending fan.
I mean, I'm sure if you know, you know.
It's called In the Back Room.
Oh, okay. Bye.
In the Back Room. I cannot read the kanji for this, but.
Well, the one I'm going to pick is in Japanese, and I don't think I can read it, pronounce it.
Okay, so which one is yours?
All right, so I'm going to go with Ending 3.
Okay, that's the iconic one.
Which is Maximum the Hormone, which I like. I actually like have a soft spot for them.
Okay.
I like their music. Like, I was actually like wondering recently, like, whatever happened to them? Like, I missed their songs.
So what else have they done?
They did the Death Note second opening, which is What's Up, People.
Oh, it's all okay.
They did the ending for Death Note, which is Zetsubo Billy.
Okay.
So I used to listen to that a lot back then.
That
wasn't even my favorite songs from them. Like, through them, I listened to some of their other songs that I really liked.
That's cool.
And so I was just like, oh, where have they been? And then I saw they came out with an ending for this, and, like, the ending went, like, super hard.
Yeah.
Which matched the chaos of, like, Chainsaw Man. But then it has, like, a part of it where it goes into the clean vocals.
Yeah.
And then you just see, like, an angelic vision of Makima, which is so manipulative.
It's so perfect.
And it's like, this is awesome. So, like, the visuals with the song, and I also, like, would listen to it, like, working out. I'm like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
That's why I had to pick it.
That's perfect. Yeah. And I think that one has, they use that as an insert song later on in the series. I feel like that's kind of, like, the unofficial pick for, like, Chainsaw Man endings.
I think that makes sense.
I think it makes sense too. It is very fitting for the series.
But I do like that it had so much variety. So.
Yeah. Got a good emotional roller coaster.
It needed at least one song that really went hard, because when I think Chainsaw Man and its chaos, I associate it with metal. So I'm just like, I feel like
that makes sense.
It should have some of that. So.
Truly fitting. I didn't know they did the Death Note stuff. That makes so much sense. Yeah. My band is called Sudo.
Sudo. Okay.
And the ending is called In the Back Room.
And they're Chinese band?
I'm not sure if the animator was.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Because you were talking about the animator that did it. Got it.
Yes. Yeah. So I will look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, the art styles for, like, the endings are, like, so creative,
they're
too.
They're so creative. I love that they have so many. I think it was really cool that they did that. So, good on Chainsaw Man.
All right. Well, I guess Chainsaw Man wins this one. And then we are moving on to our next category. We're almost there, people.
Speaking of...
Our next category is... I don't even remember what it is.
Best Girl.
You guys know before me. Best Girl.
Best Girl.
All right. Should we just, like, just say Best Girl and that's it?
One's so hard because...
This is tough. I feel like I had a few picks. Like, I had a pick, and then I remembered there was another girl from last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait.
Oh, so torn.
All right, so you went. So I have to go now.
You do.
Oh, fuck. I have to make a decision. All right, I'm going to make this easy. And Shaw was probably going to cover me if I don't pick the right one. I'm going to pick Marion from Dress Up Darling, My Dress Up Darling.
Okay, that's a good pick.
Yeah, because she was like... Pick. I forgot about her. I forgot about thinking about someone else, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to pick her, and then I'm like... Oh, you know what? She was such, like, a refreshing, like, female, like, character, like, love interest even for, like, a season, like, of an anime. Like, she was great. Like, just, yeah. Like, she was just really good character. Like, she didn't fall into, like, the standard, like, tropes of, like, you know, like, she was just very, like, passionate about, like, cosplay and whatever. And she had, like, a wholesome relationship with Gojo and whatever. Even though a lot of the times, like, they played it up for fan service, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was good. She was a good she was a good girl.
She was really good.
Good pick. You know, she was like, cute. Yeah. Lots of fun. Okay. So.
Who do you got?
I went through like five in my head in the past minute. Okay. I think I'm going to go help you out with this one and go with the Bocchi save.
Yes.
The
Bocchi. You covered me. Thank you.
The Bocchi save. You know, it's like, you know, when you like set the ball, the Bocchi set.
I was like, literally, spike. I was going to pick Bocchi like hands down. But then I was like, I got to give Marion some love. Like, you know, she was pretty good.
She was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, we did watch stuff in, in winter.
Yeah. We did watch throughout the year. Not just fall. That's when we tuned in. These are the fall 2022 weebies. Let's be real.
Yes. Fall 2022.
You got to be represented.
Yeah. So, you know, Bocchi. Greatness. Bocchi. I feel like she was just such a, like, I don't want to say breath of fresh air, but it was such a...
I feel like we keep saying refreshing and breath of fresh air, but it's true.
It is. Well, I mean, it's very interesting because there's so many series that portray social anxiety in very different ways, like grounded, over the top, whatever. I think it was a good, both, had its grounded moments, but also presented the kind of, like... Over the top,
I know, like,
dramatic ways you internalize your social.
Like, I don't want to, like, I know it's like tough to want to throw out the word realistic because it's always thrown around. And it's practically become like a buzzword at this point, but grounded. It was realistic. Like, it felt like how a socially anxious person would think.
Dramatizes,
like,
everything in their own head.
In their head. And then it makes them come out really cringe and they feel more cringe about it. And it was great. Like,
and they do like a lot of very like creative visuals to show like her mental state of like, oh, you know, I have social anxiety. They're reserved and shy. Two totally different things. And then they show like a canyon of all that.
Yes, yeah. It was perfect. When they showed the difference between her and I forget her name. The blue-haired girl.
The blue bochi.
Yeah. Because she's like, oh, no. She's a true introvert. Like, yeah, she's not a socially anxious introvert. No. She likes being alone.
Yeah. When they showed that. And then something I also really like about bochi that you don't often see as much is a lot of times they present, like, you know, I have social anxiety, and they kind of present them in the best light, like angelic, like good vibes, kind of like good morals. Bochi also has the superficial side to her where she has social anxiety, but she's also a bit superficial.
She wants to be a rock star.
She wants to be a rock star because she wants people to think she's cool and she wants to make lots of friends.
She has the delusions of grandeur.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's good to balance that with the social anxiety part. So it's like, you know, it makes it feel like, okay, this is a real person. And just because they have social anxiety and they act a bit cringe and stuff doesn't mean they can't have very
a personality and wants and like, you know, what they want to do. You know?
Exactly.
Because I think it's really about Bochi learning to express that side of her openly and comfortably, but not like in a cringe way. But because she doesn't know, she doesn't have the tools, she doesn't know how to, you know, express it. So.
And that journey is really fun. So, Bochi.
I can't wait for season 2.
Do we get a season 2?
I don't know. I hope so.
One can only hope. Okay.
All right. Next up is, in line with Best Girl,
you can't have Best Boy without Best Boy.
Yeah. This is time for Best Boy. Best Boy.
Oh, shit. I have to go first this time. This is awful. Wait, this is terrible. I didn't think this far ahead.
Even though I didn't even strategize, so we're just going in order.
Okay. This is so tough.
We're just rotating.
Oh, this is so
tough.
I'm
glad I don't have this.
I don't know. So there's so many.
Hey, I got you.
No, I don't know if you do. I don't know if you do.
You don't trust?
I don't know who you're going to say because I don't know who I'm going to say.
Go.
Okay. So this one's tough because I feel like there's so many. You could go so many different levels for Best Boy, like, oh, like wholesome. Like, good kid, you know, whatever. You could do so much with this. But it's also going with the first thing I thought of, which I got to give some recognition. I'm going to go with Shirogane from Kaguya-sama.
Oh.
Switching it up. Because I think when you look at this season of Kaguya-sama.
I was unexpected. Okay.
Kaguya season 3. Looking at it, respect. Who made the magic happen?
Shirogane.
Literally. Shirogane for both comedic and serious purposes.
It was his season.
He was like, it's time to go forward. It's time to make magic happen. It's time to trick everyone and get them to a point where he can be, you know, like the man. And not only that, for the last episode, which I think everyone knows what happens in that episode, he made the magic happen then. He also had the funniest episode I've seen possibly ever.
Oh, with the rap episode?
With the rap episode with Chica, which killed me, absolutely killed me. I was literally crying.
Yeah.
It hurt from laughter. And he made that happen. And it's all about like uplifting people around him. What a guy.
I didn't even think of him. I feel one, ashamed, blown away. Like, I just forgot.
I forgot about Goat.
He's so good.
He's the guy.
I'm kind of glad you picked him.
See, that's why I don't know. I don't trust
you.
I don't know.
You went with your gut. Don't trust me. I don't remember enough. I would fail you.
That's why you got to remember the goats. Okay.
Oh, this is tough. I think I'm going to go. Damn. Now I'm in the hot seat.
Yeah, it sucks now, doesn't it?
Shit. I'm going to go with David Martinez from Cyberpunk.
Okay, you got me.
Yeah, just because he's the Hispanic representation. You never see that in anime.
That is kind of true. You do.
There you go.
But that's it. He was great. I love David Martinez.
Yeah, no, I love the story. He was very well written, especially like, you know, like how it took him like from pretty much like how he wanted to be someone, but then it like, you know.
Crash and burns real quick.
Tragic and, you know, everything that happened, so.
Yeah, that was
It was kind of just very sad. Like, you wanted David to, like, kind of see more, but he kind of got too caught up with all the, like, upgrades and all that stuff that he couldn't really.
It's so sad because it's also, like.
He was, like, a good-hearted guy, you know?
You wanted him to be the main character who bucks reason and kicks it to the curb, and then society kicked him back and said, no, you're not the protagonist.
Yeah.
You are just the side character.
You're just a guy.
Yeah, you're just a guy.
Just David.
But it was good, and then, you know. The whole Cyberpunk season, he was great. I think he did an amazing job. They did like very fast characterization for him, but it all felt really fitting, and he left a strong impact.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked Bochi from Osama Ranking. Like, he was very precious, but I feel like David was like just Best Boy because he tried so hard, and in the end, it didn't even matter.
When you get the Linkin Park ending, yeah, you're set.
It is just like, you know, you just wanted him to, like, you know, there to be that, like, the ending was very meaningful and whatever, but, like, you did wish, like, you know, he got to, like,
you wanted
escape
him to,
the cycle.
You wanted him to be the one to, like, break the rules, yeah, and escape the cycle, yeah, and he did
and
not.
And something better for him, yeah, yeah.
So, well, Lucy didn't, so.
Yeah.
Shout out to her.
It was his death that, you know, allowed her to finally reach the moon, so.
Oh. Without him.
David. No.
I just made it sad. All right, let's move on to the next category.
Well, speaking of it, this is kind of on brand for what we were talking about. We have best antagonist. So,
all right, I know what I'm saying.
You do? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get to go first this time.
Because
I just went first. Fuck. Yeah. Okay. See, it sucks when you have to go first, and then you're like, oh, I gotta
we're just like being like low-key spiteful to each other. Like, no. You gotta go.
A Squid Game of War chosen.
You know what? I was looking for what we remembered of last year, which was not much. I was like trying to remember a good antagonist, and I'm like, you know what? I know who the most foreboding, most well-written antagonist was of last year, of 2022.
Yes.
And that was Society.
Yeah.
Society from Cyberpunk.
The Cyberpunk.
Put David down.
Night City.
Yeah.
Night City, the better. It kind of is, though. Okay.
Night City.
Night City is truly the best antagonist.
That was truly antagonist. It's what made, what's his face? I forget his name. The guy at the end that killed David.
I don't even remember his
name.
I
don't know. That guy.
That's why he's not the antagonist. It's Society.
It's Society.
Because he was made
Society
by
Society made him.
What is? Yeah, I forget his name. That was so weird.
No, I don't remember. Something Slaughter? No.
Yeah, some like meme name. But he's also in the game, I think. It was like Adam Driver or something.
Yeah. I don't know why I said Something Slaughter.
No, Adam Driver's an actor.
No, Adam Driver's the actor.
Wait, I'm looking it up. I'm curious.
Damn, it has been a while. I even like said it in a video. I had a whole point about
it.
You
did make a video on this.
It's like I make a video and then I forget everything. What was his name? Adam Driver.
Cyberpunk. No, I looked up the wrong thing.
Cyberpunk. It was Adam something.
Yeah, it was. Okay, what's his name? Well, there's Faraday, who was the guy.
Adam Smasher.
Oh, I was Smasher, Driver, whatever. Yeah.
Same thing.
Same
close
thing.
Enough.
Yeah. Shout out to Adam Driver, the actual actor. And
watch Marriage Story.
Yeah. I have seen that.
I still haven't seen it. I heard it's really good.
It's good, yeah.
Worth it?
Yeah.
Is that one of those, like, you have to, like, be in the mood for it?
Probably. I mean,
it's like a downer a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, divorce isn't good.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No.
Not fun.
Just like Society.
So what's your pick for
that's so hard.
Best antagonist of 2022?
It's so hard because I was going to pick Society of Cyberpunk.
You can still pick Society.
But I want to do another one that's so tough because there's so many. Because I think everyone could kind of predict we would possibly lean in one direction if a certain series was farther along.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go that far. Oh, I'm going to switch it up. You know what I just remembered? You know who's the best antagonist? Poochie. Stone Ocean.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot about him until literally right
now. This is literally like the weebies just remembering last year.
The weebies looking back on 2022 for the first time in 6 months.
Retrospective.
Yeah. Poochie, that was great.
Poochie was good.
We got the final stretch of Stone Ocean. Speaking of another great opening and ending technically.
Oh, shit. I could have picked the Stone Ocean opening. I love the Stone Ocean opening.
I do love that.
Can we go back?
No.
Get the side back.
Like, scratch it up. Like, oh, yeah, revisiting.
Asterisk.
Yeah. Stone Ocean's opening was great, and then they, like, redid it, and it looked dope. Poochie is great. I think his motives are very interesting. He's essentially like, we're going to bring back Dio. We're going to go back. We're going to fuck up the time-space continuum so much that I'm reaching heaven. And I will
reach Dio.
Reach Dio.
He wanted Dio.
He wanted to reach Dio. So it was kind of like, you know, they kind of struggled a bit with the first two parts of part six, where it's just like.
It was monotonous. It was tedious.
And it didn't really like, they didn't adapt it in a way that was like,
or
they didn't release it in a way where we were like, okay, let's keep the momentum going because those like chunks just didn't work. But this last section is what we all came for. I think they really knocked it out of the park. It was absolutely
those last few episodes. Batshit.
Average day of Florida, but batshit insane.
Yeah.
And
I watched it in Florida.
You did. That's right. Watch that video. And then, so I think it all just like really came together well. Poochie is like this like oppressive force that like only could be taken down by true teamwork.
Yeah.
And then the, you know, taking him down was really fulfilling.
So cool that like they pretty much. The Joestars had to entrust it, you know, to the people they inspired to kind of carry the torch
and
forward.
And I like that. It was a good ending
so
to the
like
series.
Thematic.
It worked out really well. Yeah. So I'm hoping we get part 7 at some point.
Me too. Is that going to happen?
I don't know.
Was it confirmed?
No.
Okay, well.
Let's find out.
Hopefully the most peak part ends up being, and not, you know, peak adaptation.
And not released like that on Netflix.
Not on Netflix.
No.
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 Okay. Save so us. Your pick is Poochie.
I'm going Poochie.
That's a solid pick.
I'm so glad I found a person because I didn't get to, I was going to say Social Anxiety.
You were going to say Society from, what was the other show that had Society as an antagonist? We were talking about it. Wasn't there like another show that
Spy Family.
We joked about Society being an antagonist. Wasn't it Chainsaw Man?
Chainsaw Man. No.
No, it wasn't Chainsaw Man. It was,
It's like my Maid Nibis Society.
I guess so.
I don't know. We had a lot of Society.
It doesn't matter. Whatever.
There's a lot of Society.
I'm glad you picked Poochie.
Yeah, I'm glad you
found the person.
I'm so excited. Okay. And then, you know, speaking of which, we got Protagonist, not Society.
Best protagonist. This is going to be interesting.
It's going to be tricky.
Let's see. Do I have someone for this?
I don't know.
Oh, crap. I have a few picks. Oh.
You got it. You're going to fight for it. Okay.
Wait, but it's you.
I get to go first. Oh, okay. God. I'm okay with this. I think I've settled on it.
You're like, I'm ready for this.
In my heart of hearts, I'm settled.
Yeah.
No hesitation. We're going to go Mob, finally.
Ooh.
Round it out. Season 3, his thematic conclusion. I feel it's so fitting to pit him for best protagonist. He is the protagonist of his own life. And we got to see that in the final core where he literally battled his inner self.
Yeah.
And overcame his insecurities, his doubts, all of his self-hatred, all of his hesitations. He truly became the Mob Psycho 100. They did the counting, so I had to do it. Became 100. You know, he and Reagan. 100
with himself.
He kept it 100 with himself. I hate myself. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That was so bad.
Oh,
but
man.
Mob really came into his own. His character arc came full
circle.
Can we
pick like best ending? Like that had like not best ED, but like best
conclusion?
Perfect ending. Yeah.
But then you still have like that, Stone Ocean.
No, I'm just going to pick Mob.
Yeah,
like,
let's
it
go
was
Mob.
Just had such a good last
Mob,
episode.
Who we
it was
want.
So good.
Yeah. I think they killed it. And I think it was so great to see the last shot of Mob was Mob smiling. And that's just like perfect shot. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
This is great. This is it. This is great.
Yeah, that was like such a perfect shot. I mean, like you could tell like he was more comfortable with himself. So
yeah, I love it.
And I love how you like worded it. He became the protagonist of his own life. So that's why he's the best protagonist.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to pick Bochy.
Yeah, Bochy. Every time we pick Bochy, we're like, Bochy.
I'm actually picking Bochy. I love Mob's progression and it was great. But I found Bochy to be just so like we already said, most of the reasons, refreshing, whatever, but like so relatable, so real. So like this perfect like balance of like, you know, in her own head, held back by her social anxiety, but also like still like having her superficial, like funny, like choony, like fantasies.
Delusions of grandeur,
Of like being this like big thing. And, you know, so I just thought that was like such a great balance with everything. So I think she was like a character I'd love to see more of like in season 2 as she develops as a person, because it's like she gets you invested in her own growth. Similar how Mob gets you really invested in his growth. So.
Yeah. That's all we can hope for. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Love Bochy. Another great pick. Bochy Grochy.
Yeah. And I'm glad at Mob at least got like a conclusion. Like a lot of anime don't end. That's like done.
I think Mob will go down as one of the best like 21st century series.
Yeah.
And as it should. It's great. They did a fantastic job. And we love Mob.
Mob's great.
We love Mob. Join the, what's it? Like the mushroom cult. Or no, the
The psycho helmet religion.
Consider me part of the psycho helmet religion.
I believe.
Okay. Well, we're getting
close to the end. We've only got two categories left.
Two categories left. So this one,
it's time.
We included this last one last year.
Yeah.
And we felt compelled to keep it. We got best sequel.
Yep.
And we have a lot of sequels from this year, so there are technically a lot that could be contenders.
Yeah.
So I know I have a lot of contenders. You know, this is when Attack on Titan, Demon Slayer, Kaguya, Mob Psycho, I don't know. Mushoku Tensei, technically.
I think it was only the second half of the first season.
Was like, it? Was so that doesn't count, right?
That doesn't really count.
So we're not going to count that or like Spy Family.
Yeah.
I'm not going to count that.
Yeah, you're right.
Maid in Abyss.
Yeah, season 2.
Probably other season 2s that I can't think. Bleach, technically a season 2.
Bleach.
Technically season 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just it's doing
a sequel.
That one
it's
arc.
A
yeah.
sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically a sequel. So anything that's not continuing the core, but is a follow-up season. Official follow-up season counts as best sequel.
Yeah.
Contender.
Exactly.
So.
Because there's a lot of good stuff.
There's a lot of good stuff.
If it doesn't make anime of the year, we still want to be able to honor it.
Yeah. Unofficial anime of the year.
Are you, is this me?
I went last time.
Great.
Oh, all of us just laughing at each other. Like, now you get to pick.
Yeah. Hope you're having fun with this. No, hopefully. I'm kidding. I think I know.
Okay.
But you listed a bunch of stuff that I was like, oh, wait, do I know?
Dojo counts too.
Oh, fuck. True. Okay.
Does it count? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it counts.
Yeah, that counts.
It's a sequel.
Yeah, it's always been a sequel.
Yeah, it's a sequel to itself.
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm going to pick Kaguya, season 3.
So unfair.
Without a doubt, because it was such, every single episode
just hit
of that season hit. It was so good, and the ending was just like an out-of-body experience. Like, it was just like elevated. It was so good. It was so like, and I didn't read the source material, so I'm just like,
you had no idea.
I didn't know that he was going to do this. I didn't know he was going to pull this shit off. And just to see like everything he had planned out, these two like socially awkward characters that haven't been able to confess to each other for 2-3 fucking seasons.
Yeah.
And then he finally pulls all this off in the most magnanimous, unique way possible.
It was
mind-blowing. It was like,
and then it was an hour conclusion, which is awesome. Like, they had an hour long last episode.
Yeah.
To have it all have come together.
Yeah, so. Which was also great. It was like, I think I found out about it like 3 weeks beforehand because they had like that long break. It's like, oh, you're going to get a whole hour and a half.
Yeah, we're cooking.
Yeah, so that was really good.
Yeah, and that's going to be my pick, Kaguya season 3. I think it's the best content of the series. Yeah. I think they really were like firing on all cylinders comedically and dramatically. And I like that, you know, in our last episode, you know, we obviously get, you know, the big thing happens, you know, we get all the balloons and we got to see Shirogane's thought process, which was in line with everything that had happened so far. Cause they're playing all these mind games, trying to predict everyone. So he's trying to outthink everyone. And I love how he has to lead Chica on her own.
Yes, wild to distract her. Cause he knows that she's just going to ruin everything.
Yeah, cause she's going to find it. And he's got the like other two council members. So he can finally get Kaguya alone to like, let her know how he feels.
Yeah.
So just seeing all of that as like the payoff to the mind games that we have seen all along. It's just felt very magical. I feel like the Kaguya production always makes like miracles happen. Yeah. And it's like just, you know, larger than life, elevated, but so heartfelt because we also see in blank terms why both characters could not confess to each other. Shirogane's insecurity over his class status, Kaguya's insecurities over never being vulnerable and not really knowing how to be vulnerable because her family has had such
ice queen.
Such a strict upbringing. Seeing that all come together, I think was like just peak fiction.
Yeah. And also I like the development even with the other characters.
Yeah.
With Ishigami and his crush and kind of having to like navigate or like move on from that or realize his own like true feelings and, you know, the hint at his like possible like, you know, ship with treasurer of the...
Oh, Ino.
What's your name? Ino. Yeah. So, because she... It was more of her possible feelings for him.
And
so
even Hayasaka with her getting reaffirmed that, like, you know, she matters too, even though she's not just Kaguya's servant, which is great.
I love that they had that moment where, like, she was just, like, you know, went off on Kaguya, so...
Yeah, and I think that was great. So we got to see so much payoff, so much build-up. It was really peak fiction.
What I love about the...
I can't keep saying that.
What I love about the adaptation is just that, like, it always, like, you tell there's, like, passion behind it. Like, they're always, like, not that I read the source material, but I feel like it's always lifting up or elevating the source material, like, in the best way possible. And they're always throwing in these references and everything. So it's been pretty consistent.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Yeah. So
to get, like, 3 back-to-back seasons without a dip in quality.
It's wild.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It feels like a miracle. So I love it.
Can confirm, as I mentioned before, the movie was awesome.
Yeah, I'm only did 2 episodes out of the 4, but I know the content and it's very good. Yeah. So I'm a fan.
Yeah.
So doing great. So hope we get another content after the movie.
I heard I'm okay. I heard I'm
people
all set.
Say, you can't trust anything anyone says about Kaguya. I cannot say no more Kaguya discourse. Thank God we have Oshinoko taking that spot.
Hey, we should do a Kaguya episode.
I would love that.
Just
that
like, let's go through the whole manga. Yeah. We'll rank the arcs and then we'll give it a fair shot. We'll give it a fair shakedown.
If you guys want us to do that, let us know.
Let us know. And we'll go at it. And maybe we'll get someone that hates Kaguya on and we'll
punch
discuss
them.
It.
just kidding. But not
that's
like
just a segment of the episode. Yeah, all right, we're gonna punch them now.
No, it's like I don't like it. No.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's time.
The final. Let me know how bad this looks on camera, by the way. Just setting you up. So I just kind of went crazy with drawing this one.
I allowed it.
So anime of the year. Yay.
It's time for anime of the year.
Let us know if this looks really bad.
I said it looks okay.
You did not mean that though. You meant it looks bad.
I said it looks okay.
That's it. I know what that means. I know what you mean. So
it's just very colorful. It reminds me of Shido's character design from Blue Lock.
That That's how you know it's not looking. It's not looking good. Should have done the creamsicle color scheme.
Watch people in the comments be like, "It looks great." What's Tony Morrow talking about?
No, it's like, I don't think they'll say that. I don't think we have to worry about that. But you know, my sign might not look good for anime of the year.
It's attention grabbing.
Yes.
And that's the point.
Yes. Okay. And that's
about
true.
It's all about intent.
Yeah. It's evocative. It gets the people going.
Nice.
So, this one, anime of the year.
Do we need a drum roll?
No, I think I might mess up my audio and kick
okay,
everything.
Okay, no drum roll.
No kick.
Imagine
no
the drum roll. Maybe I'll like add like a, let's leave some silence here so I can add in like a drum roll sound clip, right? Five, four, three, two, one.
I think I'm going to go, just since we did have best sequel, I'm going
to
go.
Wait, should we try to say it at the same time?
Yes.
And then probably re-say it, because since we're going to be talking over each other. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Hold on. I'm singing. Right, yeah, you have to decide. That's not fair.
What?
Because you're trying to decide it last minute. I see you.
No. I was just double checking what I wrote down.
Oh, I know. That's you're not decide. You haven't decided.
No, I'm good. I'm set. Okay. All right. Three, two, one. Cyberpunk Edge Runners.
Okay. I love that. I love that for us. Okay.
I think, yeah. Okay. I think that's good.
I think it's good that we both have different ones. And also,
I love both.
I love both a lot.
Yeah.
We've been on the same page with a lot of our picks. And I think...
And it was tough because, like, we were both really passionate about Cyberpunk.
And
We didn't get to talk about it, though.
No.
We got to talk about Cyberpunk.
Can we say that before we recorded, we didn't tell our picks, and obviously we made some game time decisions, but we're sitting here and Onimaru's like, you're gonna pick Cyberpunk Edgerunner. You're not gonna pick. And I'm like, I was literally sitting here thinking, I'm like, okay, we have Kaguya for best sequel, but I'm gonna pick like Bocchi for anime of the year. Yeah. I was literally sitting here, I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do that. And he's like, yes, you are, I know. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
She's
I'm not
like,
gonna
you
do
don't
it.
Know me. You don't fucking know me.
You don't know what's in this
Bocchi.
Bocchi.
I'm pleasantly surprised, so.
Me too.
Yeah.
That you also have Cyberpunk, because that would be probably my second pick.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Cyberpunk is just really good. I feel like I always like anime that sort of like, whether it sounds cliche or not, like come in and like break the mold a bit. Like,
yeah.
And Bocchi did do that too.
Yeah. Both
but
molds
I felt
broken.
Like Cyberpunk did that on like many levels, like with the animation, with the storytelling, with like the Western influence, and expectations on it were low because it's just a video game adaptation.
And we're hard pressed to find very good video game adaptations.
Let's be real.
And to be honest, the Cyberpunk game had very low reception because it was broken on release. So anything associated with that, no one really had high expectations
for it. Bad association.
So it came out, the Cyberpunk game came out unfinished and people were like, you can kind of play it, but like not really, it's broken, whatever. So people had cooled off on that for a bit. Yeah. And I think at least a year had gone by since it was released. Cyberpunk Edgerunners came out and it blew the fuck up. Everyone blew up on it.
Think about this achievement. It was so good, the anime, that it turned people around on the game. It made people want to play the game.
I've literally
it
never seen
it. It made us want to play the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I've literally, and we bought the game, and I played a little of it. I have to get back.
I thought about it.
The game didn't get broken or anything. I just haven't gotten around to it because Elden Ring came out, so I played that. But it was like, I've never seen an anime adaptation change the opinion of people to go back and play the game.
Like, made you interested in the world that you didn't get to experience.
Exactly.
And I'm like, wait, maybe I'll give it a shot.
Maybe I won't go down the same path as David. Yeah. They won't stop me, but...
I won't do the same thing. I'll be better. Let me just get all these upgrades.
And then that's where you're like, okay, so it did such a good job. And I'm very surprised on a couple of reasons for Cyberpunk is that it was only 10 episodes.
Yeah.
It was all released in bulk on Netflix, which makes it very easy for you to like see a show... Maybe people talk about it for a week and then they never talk about it again.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk kept going with the hype for like a good part of the year. It got all the fan art. It got the covers of I Want to Stay in Your House. People kept talking about it and the hype just kept going. It left a really emotional impact on people. Yeah. And I know some people weren't as fond of it, but I have not seen that many short series released in a binge model that have the same longevity as Cyberpunk. I think it was really impressive.
It resonated with a lot of people, both in a story perspective, with artists, with the art, with the music.
I was surprised. I was as
gamers.
Emotional.
Gamers
rise up.
Yeah.
I was surprised I was as emotional with it. And I was like, you know, I think it's a highlight. I think it was definitely a highlight of 2022.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very special series.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And it was definitely different too, from like what Trigger's done so far.
Yeah.
Too. So that was like also like, I mean,
like at certain points, like, okay, you could tell like it's a Trigger anime because it has their signature stuff, but it also was different enough that you're like, oh, this is like, you know, like their spin on like how they would take a Western property. And it's like, it was really interesting.
Yeah.
And I loved a lot of the stylistic choices for the world and what they would do with the animation and stuff like that. That just made it really, really engaging to watch all the way through.
And I know one of the common criticisms is that like, oh, I wanted more episodes to develop the characters. Yeah. This is one of the few times I do not want more episodes. I didn't want it to have more time because it got the point across so perfectly that this is a flash in the pan for this guy's life who tried to make it big, got screwed over by life, by being poor, and got eaten up by the city. You don't get more chances to see him grow. He barely got a chance to grow. He got destroyed by the city. Yeah. And
he was a nobody by the end.
He was a nobody. And the best thing that happened was he was able to save someone he cared about.
And also during it, too, he had an out. And he didn't take it.
And he didn't take it.
Because he let the city take him. So
that's a good way of putting it. There you go.
Thank you. My best work yet.
That's the show.
So yeah, no, that's what made it really good. I mean, we go more in depth on it on our episode.
In your video, which the creator.
Yeah, that's right. I did do a video.
Of Edgerunners has retweeted and said, great video.
Was it the creator? No, it was the showrunner or whatever.
Yeah, showrunner.
I mean, whatever. That's still good, right?
The guy who is out there who is like, here's all the cool cyberpunk content. He went to your video. He's like, this is it.
So I was lucky. Thank you, guy. I don't remember his name.
Is that like Raphael?
Rafi.
Or something. Let me look it up.
What was his name?
Let me look it up. I will find it.
Anyways.
Raphael. Yeah. Or Raffle? Raffle. Universe creator. Raffle.
Is he?
Yeah. I'm probably thinking.
Raffle Jockey Mike Ponce. No, wait. No, that's two names. I think it's just Raffle Jockey.
Raffle. Yeah.
However it's pronounced, I'm sorry if I butchered it. But anyways, I didn't mean to sound dismissive. I am grateful for the shout out from him. So it was just like very unexpected. It was like, whoa, like I was recognized.
Yeah, it's like, hey.
So it was really cool. And that actually made me like more into like the show and like being part of like everybody's like hype for it at the time. And I'm glad like I got to engage with it. And yeah, just the story, like again, it was just like it's one of those like endings that like when you go through it, like a lot of times, like, you have a knee-jerk reaction and be like, oh, you know, you kind of want to see more. But then when you, like, spend time and think about it a little bit, it's like, oh, you know what? That was the perfect, like, way it ended. Like, that was the message.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the message isn't always happy. But
Yeah. It's a good ending.
But it was good. So that's why, like, I had to pick it because I just felt, like, so different. So
I love it. And I think that's a great pick. And then I'm bochi-gochiing it. So I think it's just, like, talk about like an unexpected series in a different way.
Yeah.
Like I've never heard of Bocchi the Rock outside of this season. It's one of those things. It came out during the season. You watch it and you're like, oh, you know, they've got some really creative things going on. It's like essentially a slice of life comedy just about her trying to make it big as a rock star. And, you know, her social anxiety kind of holds her back a bit. But talk about like such a creative presentation of like everything. There's not a moment wasted that is not a ridiculous creative presentation of her mental state and everyone around her. Character designs are great. Her personality is great. We've gone into that.
Her dynamics with the cast, with the other characters.
Yeah, the other characters are great. They have a great dynamic that feels very, you know, like we're in high school, we're starting a band, and it's, you know, everyone has their own shortcomings, but they pull their things together.
Seems like they genuinely also don't mind, but like they love Bocchi for her quirks. And I've seen like some memes or like some stuff of like how people say like, I think they're all like a different representation of like Bocchi's like the socially anxious introvert. Yeah. The redhead is like the socially anxious extrovert. And that's like funny. And then the other two are just well adjusted, but they're just introverts and extroverts. Yeah. So it's like an interesting, you know, group.
And it's a great group and it's a great spotlight of like the Japanese indie scene, underground rock scene. Get a lot of good music with them. Yeah. I like that Bocchi is very talented at guitar and that like, you know, we got to the performance scene. Yeah. It's kind of like the quintessential like cornerstone of every like music anime at some point. It's like gotta have the performance scene. And up until that point, it's like it was looking kind of shaky. Yeah. Was she gonna perform with the box over her head? What was she gonna do?
And then she just moment goes when they needed her most.
She pops off. Yeah. And it was like perfect. And they worked out perfectly. So
I also like the episode that where they were bonding with like the adults, like the older characters that were similar to them and just sort of like that. That was really cool. So definitely added to that dynamic. And then after that, I think the red, I forget her name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Kita?
Told her like outside, like they went outside and told her like she finds Bocchi to be very reliable. Like, and that's why she, you know, she relied on her in that moment and she came through. And
that was awesome.
Yeah. So It's like, it's that makes you like really like invested in Bocchi's like slow, gradual growth, but it's nice that all these other characters like supporting her as well and they're working together. So
yeah. And yeah. That's like, they're so good. Yeah.
Plus great art direction. So.
Great art direction. I want another season. Unlike Cyberpunk, I don't want another season. Cyberpunk, but
Cyberpunk can stay in 2022. Mm-hmm. Bocchi.
I want more Bocchi. And I want more series just to kind of have that same kind of fun, creative outlook and presentation.
Yeah.
I think really brings everyone together. And one of my favorite things, which is not, it's not why I picked it for Anime of the Year, but something I love too is seeing all of the different creative fan arts where they have the Bocchi characters as different rock albums.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I've seen a lot where it's like every creative, like, you know, iconic rock album. Yeah. There's like an edit of Bocchi and the gang. And it looks so cool and it feels so fitting. And I love it. I just love it. So it's great.
Yeah. I also feel like even though it's like pretty much a slice of life, a lot of times slice of life shows can feel like sometimes a little slow with like the pacing, but I felt like Bocchi never like felt like it always felt like it was each episode in a way was like building on itself in terms of characterization, the group dynamic. Like there's always something to look forward to versus like, oh, it's just another episode where just they're, you know, goofing around and just doing nothing.
Yeah.
Even though that in itself can be good too.
But, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But for Bocchi, it just felt like there was always something. So
there's always something going on. Yeah. So fingers crossed for more.
Yep.
Great stuff. But I think like we got a lot of 2022 in a nutshell covered and it makes me happy.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I'm sure we missed something, but I think those, we kind of nailed the favorites between Mob, Bocchi, Cyberpunk.
I don't know if I guess I picked Spy Family a bit. It's got some Kaguya-sama.
We got Kaguya-sama.
Chainsaw Man a bit.
We didn't give Maiden Abyss any love.
I didn't finish Maiden Abyss I didn't finish it. I still have like a couple episodes left. But you guys know if we had another sign for best soundtrack, you know who would win. You know it's a Maiden Abyss win every time. Oh, every
soundtrack
time.
On point. I think if you do ever catch up, we should do a Maiden Abyss episode.
Be fun.
That'd be interesting. There's a lot to unpack there after season two.
Oh, yeah. A lot of trauma.
All right, but that's it. That's Anime of the Year. Those were our picks for pretty much 2022. We kind of covered it all.
No recency bias edition.
No recency bias because we didn't remember jack shit.
Don't remember anything.
So we're far enough removed. And that's kind of it. So stay tuned for the real Weebies.
We'll be back for the real Weebies.
In 2023, once we get the budget back.
We
gotta get the budget back up. And besides that, let us know what you guys picked for 2022. What were your favorites? Any categories that you kind of felt were missed and that you'd like to see back in the next one? Let us know in the comments. If you enjoyed the episode, give it a like. And if you haven't subscribed already, please subscribe. At the end of the day, those are our picks. And, you know, what do we know? That was horrible.
We're just weeps.
At the end of the day, what do we know? We're just weeps.